A lot of time going through Maseches Megillah. We're going to do the first parak of Maseches Megillah the next week and a half or so. So I figured I'd start off with some Purim topics, and maybe every night I'll do something different about Purim. And, you know, tonight is what, I think, Tes Shvat, I think is tonight's date, which means it really should have been in a few weeks from now would be Purim, had it not been in Ibur Shana. But this year, as we know, there's an extra Adar Beis, which pushes off Purim to another couple of months from where we are right now. So I want to go through this Indian of Ibur Shana in particular, the concept of the 13th month in this year. What 13 means throughout different areas of Torah, and appreciate that as a starting off. I think it's a good message to start off the kola with. So there's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai points out that the 13 comes up in many places. It comes up by Yud Gimel Midas Shirachamim. It comes up by Yud Gimel Midas Shatorah Nidreshes Bem. And he also points out that it comes up by the Yud Gimel Karbanos, the 13 Karbanos that we have. If you go through Sefer Vayikra, you count them, there are a total of 13 different Karbanos. And this is what he points out. He says that there are Yud Gimel Karbanos, five of them come from the Kemach, from flour, Minchas Solas, Minchas Mercheshes, Machvas, Chalos, Rekikin. There are five types of Menachos. Those are all called Karbanos. And there are another eight that come from animals, Bali Chaim, he writes. There's an Ola, there's a Chatas, there's an Ashim, there's a Toldah, there's a Shlomim, there's a Bechor, there's a Maaser, there's a Pesach. So these are 13 types of Karbanos. And the question, what is the significance of the number 13? How does this relate to Karbanos? How does this relate to all the different things we've mentioned? So firstly, just to start off, the Gematria of Yud Gimel 13 is equal to the Gematria of Echad, which also equals the Gematria of Ahava. So somehow the number 13 represents achdus, represents ahava, love, connection, bridging together. And we'll see this common idea thread itself through all these different areas of Torah where the number 13 comes up. So let's start off with how many months of the year? The 12 months of the year, and this year the 13. And the Sefer Yetzirah talks about that each month corresponds to a different shevet. People ask me all the time, what is a good Pesach into Chassidus, what's a good Sefer to use? Depending on the person, depending on his skill set, his ability, his interest, one of the very important Sfarma I recommend, it's fun, it's, some pieces are a little bit difficult, but the B'nai Saschar. The B'nai Saschar is a very, very Chashiv Sefer. And it wouldn't be the first Sefer I'd recommend to a person, but once a person starts understanding the language in Chassidus, B'nai Saschar is a very, very, very good place to learn. It's fun, it makes the months exciting. It goes by the different chodashim of the year. Explains the depth of what each chodesh represents. Just an interesting thing about B'nai Saschar. B'nai Saschar, anyone know why he's called B'nai Saschar the Sefer? It's called the Chozer told him he comes from the Shevet Yisachar. And there's another mice about the B'nai Saschar that his mother, when his mother was having a hard time having children, so she got a bracha from the Nomei Lemelech. And the Nomei Lemelech said, when you have a child, I'm giving you a bracha to have a son, and you should name the son after me. Name him Elimelech. And so when the B'nai Saschar was born, the Nomei Lemelech was still alive. And the Ashkenazim don't name after the living. So she decided to name him Tzvi Elimelech. And the Nomei Lemelech said, I told you, you should name him after me. And since you didn't, he was not going to be as great as a tzaddik as he could have been. Now, it's hard to imagine to be any greater, but the B'nai Saschar, that was his namesake. In my wife's family, there's a Masorah we have that some great, 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 I don't know how many greats it goes back to, but someone got a bracha from her family that all the descendants should be frum. That was the bracha. So to our knowledge, that's the case. It's a very chashiv bracha. So we have a certain shaychus of B'nai Saschar. So B'nai Saschar goes to each month, explains the nature of each month, how it connects to each of the Shvatim. He quotes the Sefer Yetzirah. So there are 12 months, but the question is, in a year like this, where there are 30 months, so who's the 13th Shevet? So some could say Yosef, that's another topic, maybe we'll discuss at a different point. Yosef is really, because the Shvatim we talk about Ephraim and Manasseh being the Shvatim, not Yosef. So some say Yosef could be, there are two Adars, Yosef had two Shvatim, that's one Mahalach. But according to the Sefer Yetzirah, Yosef is not part of the 12, not part of the 12 Shvatim. So Adar, this 13th month, is no one. Or it's really everyone. that the 13th month, as we said, the 13 is Echad, it's Ava, it represents the Achdus, of everybody coming together. So we're going to see this theme in every aspect, every application. The 13th month is connected to all 12 Shvatim. They all come together on this Chodesh. The Magen Avraham brings down from the Arizal, he brings down that it's those who learn Minchas Asher has a tshuva about this as well, this Magen Avraham, this Arizal, that there are 12 Nuschaos HaTvila. 12 Nuschaos, so 12 different types of Tvilas, Ashkenaz, Svard, Nusach Svard, whatever the types are. And then there's a third one, which is Nusach Ari. Arizal put together the 13th. The 13th Nusach is, he took a little bit of each of the Nuschaos, a little bit of Ashkenaz, a little Svard, a little bit of this, a little Moroccan, Persian, whatever the Nuschaos are, and had this 13th Nusach, which really is Kolel, all the other 12. And now, the Magen Avraham brings this to Lehalacha because he says, the person doesn't know his Nusach. Let's say he has no Nusach. He forgot, he lost his Mesorah. So what should he daven? So, says the Magen Avraham, based on that reason, you should daven Nusach Ari. Because Nusach Ari, you're going to get everything. Everyone fits into the Arizal's Nusach. It's the 13th one. Because again, it's Kolel everything. It's that Achdus, it's Ava, everyone coming together. A different application. Reb Tzadok writes in Dover Tzadok in Parsha Achrimos Os Gimel, Reb Tzadok HaKohen writes that there are 12/13 brachas of Bakashos in Shemoneh Esrei. We know Shemoneh Esrei has three brachas at the beginning, there's three brachas at the end, and there are 12/13 brachas in the middle. And the Reb Tzadok writes that the 12 different brachos correspond to the 12 months of the year and the 12 Shvatim, and each one corresponds. He doesn't go into detail how each one does, but he could, if you want, go look back and see how this connects to Reuben, how this one connects to Shimon. But what about the 13th? So what's the 13th bracha? The one that was added was Lamal Shinim. That was the added one. That's called the 13th. And who's that connected? And the answer is because Lamal Shinim talks about those who are trying to divide Klal Yisrael. Those who are trying to rebel. Those who are going against the Torah. Going against a Mesorah. So at first glance, it sounds like it's separating. It's making a divide. But the truth is, these people, like the Eir of Rav, that if they're in Klal Yisrael, they're going to make a further divide. So in essence, the bracha of Lamal Shinim was trying to preserve, to retain the achdus that we have. And that's why the 13th bracha of Lamal Shinim is keeping away those who try to create division. We need to maintain our achdus. We need to maintain our av, our shalom that we have. Yet another application of the 13. Mentioned in the beginning that the Yugimu Midos Shiatorah Nidreshes Behen. And it happens to be a fascinating Rav Yosef Engel. Now I remember I was in Rav Rosenzweig's year. There was one day, I don't know if they still do this, but one day they used to switch like a Ritz Rashi would speak in one of the other IBC maybe. And one of the rabbis from IBC would speak at the Ritz Shir. So Rav Rosenzweig and his father, Rabbi Rosenzweig, as we called him, they would switch. One day they switched. So Rav Rosenzweig spoke to Rabbi Rosenzweig's IBC class. Rabbi Rosenzweig had seen it, Rosenzweig's father. He spoke to us one day. And Rav Rosenzweig came in, and his father was like still schmoozing with us in the Shir. And Rav Rosenzweig comes in, and Rabbi Rosenzweig is busy telling a history lesson or something. He liked history a lot. And Rabbi Rosenzweig walks in, and his father says, Rabbi Rosenzweig, oh, we're learning Hasidus. And Rabbi Rosenzweig didn't want to hear of it. He said, oh, come on. And he called him by his first name. He said, come on, you have some Hasidus in your Yichas, if I recall correctly. So when I was at Rabbi Rosenzweig's this year, I was not learning Hasidus. It wasn't something that I was taught, something I was encouraged to do. But I'll tell you the Pesach for me. When I was, we were learning Baba Kama in YU. So we were learning the Sugya of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. And there's a Sefer, those in Rav Shechter Shir know this Sefer very well. Rav Yosef Engel Svarm, and other Shir maybe also. Rav Belzai, I imagine, quotes this as well. He's a Talmud of Rav Shechter. Rav Rosenzweig, we probably did a couple from time to time. But Rav Yosef Engel was a big Eloi Svarm of Gilgal Neshas, Asim Darais, it's Kedai to learn. But it's very overwhelming. It's like an encyclopedia. I'll tell you my story about Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel, he wrote so much. We lost so much of his writings. in the wars. So one time there was a person passing by the city where he lived. I forget, it may have been Kutsk or near Kutsk he lived. And the visitor wanted to see Rav Yosef Engel. So he comes in, and the Rebbetzin says, "He's sleeping, I'm sorry." So the guest made a very strange request. He asked the Rebbetzin, "Can I see him take a nap?" So she said, "Sure." Okay, so she lets him in, and there Rav Yosef Engel is busy napping. But while he is napping, and the Maisa goes, he's napping like this. Now, I don't think he's writing anything necessarily, but in his mind, his body was just motioning. He was writing. He was always writing. Always, even when he slept, he was writing. So I was once learning this sugya of Einon Shomer Din in the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama. And Rav Yosef Engel talks about the three shitas of how Einon Shomer Din works. I don't know if you guys get Babasa this year, so it doesn't really come up in Babasa, I don't think. The three pshatim and how can we explain Einon Shomer Din. One pshat is that it's just a midah. There's no rules, no reason. It's just a midah, it's a rule. The other reason he says is because based on the Marsha, there's a Rashi and Psachim, that Shem Yesh Pircha. We know that anybody can make their own Kal V'Chomer. A Gzer Shava, you can only have a Masorah from your Rebbe. But you can't make up your own Gzer Shava, but a Kal V'Chomer, anybody can make a Kal V'Chomer. Which means if I can make a Kal V'Chomer, you can make a Kal V'Chomer, maybe there's a flaw. I think maybe this is a good Kal V'Chomer, but maybe it's wrong. Maybe I didn't see another angle. And therefore, just because I made a very sound Kal V'Chomer, there might be Shem Yesh Pircha, and we can't own Shin based on the Kal V'Chomer. The third pshat, he says, is it's all of them are found in Rishonim and Achronim. The third pshat is that maybe the worst avera doesn't deserve the kapara that comes along with an onish. So maybe one of the examples that they say onish din is by biton arayos. The pasuk says bas biton, a granddaughter in arayos. The Gemara says kava chomer than a biton. So onish din. We need to bring a drasha. We can't apply kava chomer. Because maybe arayos with a granddaughter, that deserves kapara, but a daughter itself, that doesn't deserve kapara. These are examples. Those are three shitas, he says. And then he writes, he says, another pshat is, because the truth is, he says, gzer shava, ain't adam done gzer shava mi'atzmo, that's a midah, that's midas din, midas gvura. And midas gvura, those who learn the svarim, that's very limited how din works. A gvura is very limited, it shrinks. But a kal v'chomer is chesed. Chesed, you're expanding something, more chesed. To have a punishment go through chesed, that avenue chesed doesn't make any sense. Ain't onshin min adin. We can't apply a onish through din, through chesed. That's what he writes. So anyways, so each of these yidgum midos shaton and jashbem have a certain connection as well in different midos of chesed and gvura. The last one, what's the 13th? What's the 13th midah shaton and jashbem, guys? Two psukim are contradicting each other, and then what happens? Ad shiavo ashlishi, v'yachriya b'nayim. The third one comes is machriya. The third one's machriya, which means it's achdus, it's av, it's that inyan of the 13th that's always bringing things together. Yeah, another application we have is there's a halacha brought down minag, but it's brought down Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara. That a shul should have 12 windows. You go into the main sanctuary here, you see in BRS, there are 12 like fancy windows, usually connected to 12 shratim. So there are 12 windows. And perhaps we could suggest there's a 13th window, which is the front entrance. Maybe the Pesach that everybody walks in. There are 12 windows, that's for Reuven, and that's for Shimon, and that's for Yehuda, and so on. The 13th is where everybody walks through, no matter how you dress, no matter what type of kippah you wear, no matter whether you wear a hat or don't wear a hat, a white shirt, not a white shirt, whatever, how religious you are, how much you learn, everyone walks through that 13th window that's the front entrance to the shul. Front entrance to the Beis Medrash. Regardless of whose shir you're in, what yeshiva you go to, where you grew up, where you live, everyone walks through that front entrance. That's the 13th chalom. That's the 13th window. And when it comes to a year of an Ibur Shana, where there's 13 months, that means that this is a very, very special year of Achdus. And that's compounded when the 13th day, on the 13th month, Tainis Esther, Leich, Knais, Koi, Yehudim, as Esther said, that represents Tainis Esther, even though it's in Nisan. But that concept of this Knisa, of everyone coming together on Tainis Esther, the 13th day, on the 13th month, this is the ultimate Achdus in a year like this. Riza points out that the Gematria, 72 is one of the Shemos Hashem. I'm not trying to get deep here. This, we're just going, but I'm not discussing these Shemos, but just accept it. There's a letter, name of Hashem, that's 72 letters. So he says 72 times 13, number 13, is the same exact Gematria as Mordechai Esther with the Kolos, which is 936. That's the number 13. So 13 is very, very, very highlighted in the story of Purim and a year like this with 13 months. So let me just finish off with the mice and let you guys go, because I know you guys are probably exhausted. And I don't think every shiur is going to be this deep in the Machshava and the Gematrias necessarily, wherever, whatever I'm up to talking about, we'll see. But hopefully this will generate some excitement, the Achdus of all of you coming together, all of us together, the Achdus of the next 10 days or so. I'll finish off with the Maisa. I think it was with Rav Shvadron, I don't remember exactly, I think it was him, the earlier part of the 20th century, before Eretz Yisrael existed as a independent country, an independent government. So there was a minister, an officer, someone high up in the government of England. He came to visit, at the time, Palestine, Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to meet the heads of each of the different religions. The head of the Muslims in Yerushalayim, and the head of the Christians, and the head of the Jews. And Rav Shvadron was viewed as the Gadol Dor. And he was going to be the representative to meet with this officer from England. So he met with the Muslim leader in a very fancy mansion, and same thing with the head priest in a very fancy home, residence. But Rav Shvadron said, if he wants to come meet me, he should come meet me where I live. Now, Rav Shvadron lived in the basement apartment in the Old City. Very, very, it was a basement apartment whereby the only window he had, you look up, all you could see is people's feet walking. You have to walk down crookedy stairs, bend your head, a very narrow stairwell, to his home. They tried convincing him to, no, come, let's go to someone's nice, fancy house, show some makavo to this English, you know, the British are very proper also. To them to come down to the basement apartment is beneath them. But he said, no, he wants to see me, so let him see who I am. So in comes this very prestigious, neat, put-together officer. He comes to the home of Rav Shvadron in the basement there, bending his head, climbing down the stairs. And Rav Shvadron offered him a chair. It was one of these wicker basket type of chairs. This story is actually found in, I think the article book is called The Man of Jerusalem, maybe, Yisrael Gelis. Happens to be a friend of a family of mine. So he shares a story. And so he gives him this wicker basket type of chair to sit on. I know there's a lot of holes in it. And this British officer sits and he falls right through. Falls right through the chair. So quick thinking of Shadron says to him, you know, listen, let me explain something to you. And when Yaakov Avinu, whatever, how he explained this to him, Yaakov Avinu went to Har Bayis for the first time. So there's a big machlokas amongst the rocks, who is going to be Zocha that Yaakov Avinu, this great tzaddik, would sleep on? So the 12 rocks, they came together, ba'achdus, they became one big 13, right? One echad, they became together. This way they were all Zocha. They were all Zocha that the tzaddik sleep on them. So he says, listen, all the holes wanted to have you sit on them. So they all joined together to become one big hole. And he fell through. That's and I guess maybe he laughed, I don't know. Not sure, but that was the mice. Either way, here we are, more than 13, I think 23 we have, myself 24. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of guys who decided to come spend their break to learn, which is fantastic. Learn, enjoy the nice weather. Hopefully you get to play some ball, relax a little bit too. Shmooze, get to know each other. And Mitzvah Hashem, through this we should have incredible achdus. We should have a week and a half of real ava and shalom and bracha, and the learning should be the top notch, but also make sure to relax a little bit, let your mind relax, your body relax a little bit, and hopefully we'll make it the best. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with each of you guys and learning with each of you guys. And again, that's those who want to reach out to me to meet with me, you let me know. And let's begin. Everyone have a wonderful evening. I guess I'll see you guys a little bit later. And all right.